a number of scholars of English literature and language have said that English literature cannot be fully appreciated without a knowledge of the English Bible, partly because the King James Version was one of the greatest forces in stabilizing and the English language as we have it today, and also because it became such a part of our language. There are so many expressions that have become household expressions, everyday terms that either were taken from the Bible or allude to something in the Bible. I heard one such expression not too long ago in a conversation where one person said after the discussion, "Well, I guess that's just one of the signs of our times." How often have you heard that expression? And if, of course, it was taken from Jesus' words in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And let's read from the 16th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the first verse. "The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." Now, of all the signs that he had given them, they wanted him to give them a sign, and a sign from heaven. So he gives them a sign from heaven here. "In the morning, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering." And I have read that in the Holy Land, that is still a weather phenomenon. Somewhat it is with us, because a pleasant evening sunset with brilliant colors does signal a good day in the morning. But a rosy sunrise does not always signify a storm. But it did here. And he said, "Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." And then he goes on to say, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." Now, in the New Testament, there are two different Greek words translated time. They are both in use in the New Testament, as we shall see. One of them has to do with calendar time, the passage of time. And from that Greek word, we get our word chronology, or chronicle, the record of the passing of time. The other one means the time, the opportune time, the time of opportunity that has come and that will pass. In our modern jargon, we would say a door of opportunity that will close ere long. And that is the word that Jesus used here, or at least that is recorded in Greek. He doubtless did not speak Greek, but this is the way Matthew recorded it. He says, "O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. He was referring to matters and events and things all around them that told them that this was a particularly important time, and they have missed it completely. And then in the Gospel of Luke, in the 12th chapter, and begin reading in verse 54, he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say there cometh a shower, and it is so. And the winter monsoon rains come into the Holy Land from the Indian Ocean, from the southeast. But the showers, the spring rains, come off of the Mediterranean. And as the clouds rise towards the highlands, they produce showers. He said, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and it is so. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. In that part of the country, the south wind was that searing, hot, dry wind that often brought a blast of sand from the desert. It came from the south, say from Egypt or from Arabia, and it was the Sirocco winds in Africa that were famous for being suffocating in bringing sandstorms. He says, when the south wind blows, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that ye cannot discern this time? This time meaning this opportune time. This time that has come and will soon pass. A door of opportunity. And he was speaking, of course, of the time of his own ministry, when he was born and when he ministered. And there were signs that the people in general knew, signs that even the Pharisees, as rabbis, had taught in their synagogues. For it was prophesied when he would come. It was prophesied what he would do when he came. You remember Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks in the 9th chapter of Daniel? He was troubled over the fact that Jeremiah's 70 weeks had passed and the captivity was supposedly over, and yet nothing was happening. So Daniel was told, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. Seven blessings that were to be fulfilled when the Messiah came in 70 weeks. And the Jews had always understood, as do Christians since them in the Christian age, that this is a symbolic number, the 70 weeks, meaning 70 years, 70 times 7 years, or 490 years. And the Jewish doctors of the law knew this prophecy well. The average person in Israel knew this because it was read and expounded on in their synagogues. And that's why there was such a great anticipation in Israel about the time Jesus was born. You remember Simeon? He was anticipating the coming of the salvation of Israel. And he recognized in the infant Jesus that this is the time, this is he. And Anna the prophetess, the same. This was not something that was mysterious or hidden or unknown. It was well known in Israel. And there were other signs all about them, abundant signs of that time. In the 10th chapter of John, John 10:38, Jesus said, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." He was calling their attention to the works that he did, because all that Jesus did was in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And every Sabbath day, in the synagogues, they read sections from the law and from the prophets. They were well acquainted with the prophets, and they well knew such passages as in Isaiah and the other prophets and in Moses about what this coming one would do when he came. And in Matthew, over and again, he records that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophets, saying. So they well knew what these signs were, and they either were too dull to put them together to see the time, the opportune time for the Messiah to come, the opportune time for them to hail him, or else they were deliberately ignoring them because it did not include them. So the signs of the times from Daniel's 70 weeks, they knew, had come to pass. And as it turns out, in figuring back from the time that Daniel marked until the time that the 489th year had come, when Messiah, or the 483rd time year had come, when Messiah the Prince would be cut off, that time, that very day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem in what has been called the triumphal entry, was the last day of that 483rd year of which Daniel spoke. So there were signs of his coming. There was a calendar sign, a chronos sign, and there was a sign of the opportune time or season, the kairos time. There, both of them, and plus all of the works of Jesus that were the sign of his coming and that he had come. Turning over to the 24th chapter of Matthew, we have some very interesting questions and answers of Jesus about the sign of his second coming. And there were signs of his second, are signs of his second coming. In Matthew 24, beginning with the first verse, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And second, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And third, and what the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, gave them answers to these three questions. As to the first one, when shall these things be? The things that they were referring to is what Jesus said, that there should not be one stone left upon another that should not be thrown down of that temple. That happened just about 40-some years after Jesus said this. When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and toppled all of those massive 20 and 30 ton blocks down off the mountain into the ravines below. So that answered the first question, when shall these things be? And then Jesus went on to explain them more about this coming disaster that was looming over the nation at that time. And Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, because there were many deceptive antichrists before Jesus, during his time, and after his time. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. These wars and rumors of wars are not a sign of his second coming. They are descriptive of this time between his first advent and his second advent, as are the following verses. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in many places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. This is in answer to their second question. These things were the beginning. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. They, of course, being the Gentiles. And that's what the Romans did. And that is what has been happening to them ever since that time. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And these things, this divisiveness, and this antagonism to the various groups within Israel is what contributed to their defeat at the hand of the Romans twice. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, being the end of this time, of this age, the same shall be delivered. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. So it doesn't give a calendar time, how many years between his first and second coming, as the scriptures did concerning his first coming. It is left indefinite, but the signs of the events answering their first question, when shall these things be, is what he has answered now. Then he answers the second question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Beginning with verse 15. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Jerusalem flee into the mountains. This would be a sign of his second coming is near. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, because the trouble is imminent. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. This is the second sign of his coming. And this is speaking to the Jews from their own viewpoint. Great tribulation. And how great that will be, how great it will be, we have no way of knowing. They have already suffered great holocausts by the hand of the Romans and throughout all the pogroms of this long age that Jesus described, and in the Nazi era, and the stage is right for more suffering for Israel. But then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And believe it or not, there are people, there are persons rising up among Israel to this day, claiming to be the Messiah. And the Lubavitchers believe that one who died just a few years ago will come back to life and bring in the golden age. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, when they shall say unto you, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. And for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And this means that it is swiftly, it will swiftly occur. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So these are the answers to the disciples' questions. And how fantastically they have described exactly the nature of this long period of time between his first and his second coming. Not by a calendar time, but by seasons that would come, and that they should recognize the season for what it is by the signs that attended it. So that is the signs of the times from the Jewish standpoint and from their history. But in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we have the answer to the Christians concerning the coming of the Lord. And in this case, both of those Greek words are used, calendar time and the opportune time. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Times, meaning the calendar time, and the seasons, the opportune time. In other words, the calendar time refers to the passing of time, the ages, or we might say the dispensations of time. He had already taught them these things. He's reminding them of them now, of the various ages of time during which God deals with peoples, and the seasons, the opportune times. Israel missed their opportune time as a whole, they did, when Jesus' first advent. Our opportune time has been a long time, this age of the gospel, but it is a window of opportunity that will close, dispensationally speaking. And for us also, we have our own season of opportunity in our own lives, and we have no idea how soon that window of opportunity will close. He said to the Thessalonians, "You have no need that I write unto you about these things, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, when they shall say, peace and safety," that is, declare universal peace. That has never been done. The only time of universal peace that this world has ever known, so far as the Western world is concerned, I don't know about the Orient, was the Pax Romana, 200 years with no war in Europe or North Africa or in the Near East. When they shall say peace and safety and declare universal safety. Have you been listening to the news about how the European Union must be made stronger to ensure peace, and how the nations of the world must get together in an international coalition to enforce peace? That has not yet been proclaimed, but when that is proclaimed, that is a sign of the time of the Lord's return for His church. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you. So that is one of the signs of our times. Another is in the scripture where Jesus said, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jerusalem, now, for the first time in our lifetime, for the first time in 2,000 years, is not in the hands of Gentiles. It is under Jewish control. Now we know by the book of Revelation that it's going to be invaded, that there are going to be terrible wars there and so forth. But this is a sign of our time. When they shall declare universal peace, and when Jerusalem is no longer trodden down by the Gentiles. And then there is a third sign of the times in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So those are two more signs. One of them we are seeing today, the sign of the falling away. When whole church communions that claim to be Christian deny every doctrine of the Christian faith. And the church that Jeremiah Wright belonged to nationally denies every doctrine of the Christian faith. And they are not alone. There are many others. I believe this is that true apostasy that we are seeing. But that man of sin has not been revealed, so that great tribulation is not here as yet, but these are signs of the times for us. Jerusalem is no longer trodden down by the Gentiles. The world is working toward a declaration of universal peace, and oh, how the Court of Human Rights in The Hague, Holland, wants to be the one to enforce that. They just warned us today in the news that we must not execute certain Mexican criminals that we have in our jurisdiction. The court in Hague has declared what we must do and what we should not do. We're not to that time yet when universal peace can be so enforced like that, but these are signs of the times. Knowing this, what manner of people should we be? What manner of lives should we live? Because after all, it is later than we think.